Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin Y, Yielding, Episode 28, Franciscan Sister Catherine Lynn Forsyth.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, I wish you could have heard what Dee just said a minute ago. She said, you can do most of the talking. Well,
I'm out of my mind.
The reason for that is that Dee has come down with the same cold that I had a show ago. And actually, both of us are still struggling with some leftover congestion. And
I think this was a pretty rotten thing for you to do right before I was going on my trip. Although I wasn't sick when I left.
So it wasn't my fault, or it is my fault.
It was your fault.
Folks,
it's always your fault.
Well, welcome to Catholic Vitamins. We're glad you're with us again. And our show today is about the word yielding. Now, it's interesting to me, Dee, that we must have had a dozen guesses. This time we had good participation in people trying to do the Vita Scrabble thing, and they thought the Catholic vitamin for this show was going to be
yearning,
which is a good one. We ought to use that in the future. Don't tell anybody.
But now they'll know. They'll all guess it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to me because our Catholic catechism does not have the word yield or yielding in it. The OCP Breaking Bread Missalette and Music publication that a lot of churches use, parishes use, no hymn includes the word yield or yielding. The glossary for the New American Bible doesn't contain either word. Yet I found more than 50 Bible verses that have the word yield or yielding in it.
Good.
Yeah, so I think it's a good thing for us to talk about, but it's something Americans don't like because it implies weakness. And we'll come to that. Well, dear, on the subject of yielding, did you have any trouble yielding to the advances of your husband?
You mean back when you weren't my husband?
Right, yes.
Yes.
I can't make you laugh.
Don't make me laugh because I'll start coughing.
Okay. So maybe I shouldn't pursue this any further.
I would say, yes, I did in the beginning. And I think maybe it was out of fear or uncertainty about where this was going, this relationship was going. I thought you were coming on a little strong. And I don't know that I was quite ready for it.
You mean the fact that on the second day I asked you to marry me? No, I didn't do that, really.
Don't make me laugh.
I'm sorry. Well, you laughed at my jokes a lot. And I thought, this must mean something special is happening.
That I did.
You did. Did you finally yield to my overtures?
Obviously.
We've been married quite a while, so I guess the answer is yes.
I would say yes. We actually only dated for a few months, and then we were apart. That was my doing. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see each other, I think, for a whole year. And then when you suddenly reappeared in my life, I guess I started thinking, you know, this guy's a pretty nice guy. Maybe I better hang on to him.
Really? It was, what, the last of some poor choices? No. So finally you said, yes, you yielded, and we started preparing for a Catholic and a Methodist to be married. You were from Pennsylvania and a Methodist.
Right.
And I was from Detroit and I was a Catholic. And we had to decide how to yield out of that situation.
And there were some, you know, behind the scenes stuff there that we could probably do another whole podcast about.
Yeah, we sure can. We sure can.
But it all turned out well in the end.
Can we just tell them the one scene from the reception? The wedding was beautiful. It was a mess. But the scene from the reception, talk about...
where the Methodists were all sitting on one side of the hall and the Catholics
and the other
Fox
people.
Family was on the other side of the hall and having a whoopee time.
And all the Methodists were sitting there very watching. Folks, it was a while ago. Things were different. And thanks be to God, we've all drawn closer in our faith walk now. And Mom, your mom, has said many times now that she wishes that, I don't want to put words in. What does she say to you?
Oh, it surprised me at one point. I don't know how many years we've been married when she was complaining about my brother not doing things or something. And she says, I wish he was more like Tom.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
What a compliment that was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, our subject is yielding, and we're going to save most of any personal wrap-up or some of the communications we've had and things till the end of the show. Our guest is a Franciscan sister that I think you'll find delightful, and we'll work our way into today's vitamin. So we'll catch you in a little while.
I can go cough now, right?
Yes, you can. Bye. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is a sister from the Franciscan Sisters, Third Order Regular, of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother in Ohio. Our guest is Sister Catherine Lynn Forsythe. Sister, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Tom.
It is an honor and a joy. I've come to know your order, and I hope to share the words about your order through this podcast and through my other, I've already done some preaching about your order.
Great. Thank you.
Yes. Before we get started talking about the topic of the day and about your order, why don't you introduce people to you, Sister Catherine?
Certainly. I'm originally from Oshawa, Ontario, Canada, and I'm the first international member of our community. The rest of our sisters come from within the United States, and we currently have a sister from Ireland also who is in a novitiate, so she'll soon be a member. I grew up in a family with three brothers, two older, one younger, which was very interesting because I always wanted a sister, and now I have 29 sisters in religious life.
Yes.
So it's been an interesting experience for me in that sense. My family was not Catholic. Actually, when I was born, we were Anglican, and my parents decided that they would, for all kinds of reasons, come into the Catholic Church right before I turned 7. So our whole family entered the church at that time, and my parents were always very faithful, even in the Anglican Church, but it was such a blessing when we became Catholics that we had sort of the fullness of the truth. And my parents had grown into that gradually anyway, so the conversion was really just a formality in a sense. And with that came a few years later was the time when the charismatic renewal was becoming a reality in the Catholic Church. And my parents became involved in that right at the beginning in our area, which would have been about 1972. And at that time, there was just a lot of fervor for the faith. And even though my parents had been very faithful themselves, they really grew in their relationship with the Lord. And thankfully, I am so grateful they passed that along to me in terms of their relationship to Christ in the sacraments, but also particularly in the scriptures, such a love for scripture, talking about scripture at home, emphasized the personal relationship with Christ. So I was very, very blessed to grow up in this type of environment where the Lord was really the center of our family, the center of our home life. And my parents really were faithful in promoting that for us and sharing their own faith with us. So you could say I was sort of geared for religious life, but actually I never heard about religious life because when I was growing up, there weren't any sisters in visible habits. So I didn't really know about sisters, except for, you might remember this, Sally Field and the Flying Nun.
Well,
was
sure.
That was pretty much my perspective on religious life.
Uh-huh.
And even before I sort of came to the point of starting to think about religious life, I really had to make a personal decision for Christ. I think, like a lot of young people do, when I was in high school, I was 17. I had been raised in this good environment, but for myself had not necessarily taken on a personal relationship that was transformative for me. And so at that time, I had a really important experience, sort of, I guess, what you call a reversion. I had been going to the sacraments and whatnot, but not really understanding what I was doing. And my parents actually sent me on this youth retreat, and I was not too happy about them sending me on this youth retreat because they didn't ask me about it. But it bore really massive fruit in my life, because through that, I really experienced, sort of gave myself permission, I think, to love the Lord in a way I hadn't been able to do before, and made a clear decision to make Christ really the center of my life. I'm not sure I knew what that meant at that time, but, you know, He's so good and gives us the faith and the grace to do that, and then it unfolds gradually. But that was a really important moment for me, just personally. And within a couple of years, I started to know I was probably being called to something different than maybe is the norm. Because when I talked to friends about their relationship with the Lord, it was somehow different than what I was experiencing. And I started realizing that He wanted all of me in a very tangible way, all of my time, all of my attention, all of my energy, everything I had. And I had never felt particularly called to marriage, and at the same time could see, especially in my own parents' marriage, the beauty of the sacrament of matrimony. But myself, I did not really, wasn't really at a point, I was in college, not really seriously considering marriage, but it was sort of there. And at the same time, praying with Scripture, and this is what happened, I was praying with Scripture a lot, and everything started to sound spousal, in the sense like God was calling me to be a spouse. I initially didn't even understand why I would be thinking that way. And then gradually it started dawning on me, maybe God wants me to be a nun or something. That would be so weird. And so, because I had no idea really what it meant to be a nun, and I think my vocation, I'm like, came out of just a complete vacuum, because I didn't have any real exposure, as I said, except for Sally Field, which is not the most, you know, very solid exposure to religious life. So it really came out of just the Holy Spirit teaching me through Scripture and through regular faithful attendance to the sacraments what He might be calling me to do. So over time that developed, and actually throughout my 20s, I worked in education field and social service field, and throughout that time just sort of grew, as they sort of say of Jesus in the Scriptures, in wisdom, stature, and favor with God. I hope that's what I was doing, and sort of growing into this vocation. So when I actually had a pivotal year when I was able to go to adoration of the Blessed Sacrament every day after work for an hour. And during that year, and I'll share more about this later when we talk about yielding, but during that year is when I really began not just to know that God was calling me to religious life, but to really want it. And so that was very, very pivotal. And then I joined our community here in 1997, January 1997. And that's just been a wonderful road ever since that time of entrance. Currently, I'm working in the formation program in our community with the temporarily professed sisters. But before that, I also did vocations coordination in the community. So I've had a lot of opportunity since being in the community to continue reflecting on and growing in my own vocation, which I'm just constantly grateful for.
Amen. Amen. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Sister Catherine Lynn Forsyth. And we're going to talk about her order in a second. I will say, Sister, first that the first vitamin, in a sense of giving people fresh insights into the faith process, was on adoration, vitamin A, excuse me. And we had a priest, Father Mark Rutherford, from Michigan, who had been at Franciscan University.
Yes.
And talked to us, and he had attended a youth conference and felt a call to commit to Christ that I we're right at the edge of this topic of yielding. We'll come to that, as you said, in a moment. But it appeared in your early journey as well, didn't it?
That is extremely significant because, you know, a vocation, oftentimes people will think comes from the outside. God is asking me, God is demanding of me, even worse, to do something that maybe I don't want to do. And so for me, through that adoration process, what happened was I always figure it would have been interesting if I could see inside myself, because I think my heart would have made a 180-degree turn, because through going to adoration daily, God actually made my desire his desire, his desire my desire, like a mutual desire, and vocation has to be. And I didn't even really know that entirely, but through that process of adoration, that's how it came about for me.
Mm-hmm. Sister, would you tell us some about your order? I sent you an email, and I said, not meaning any disrespect, that the name Franciscan Sisters of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother doesn't sound all that joyful, but I have met several of the sisters, and they are completely filled with joy. Tell us about your order.
It does seem a misnomer, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
We actually get that comment a lot, Tom, and basically, the answer to that specific question would be that part of our charism, an important part of our spirituality, is to stand with Mary at the foot of the cross as the sorrowful mother. But in that, I would say that Jesus on the cross, while he's dying, Jesus throughout his life, but particularly in his passion, and his mother standing there at the foot of the cross, certainly are, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of sorrow, but there is such a deep joy in knowing that the Father's will is being fulfilled in and through them. And I would say that that is probably the joy that people experience in our sisters. Our sisters are, we are definitely known for our joy. We recognize and are grateful for a gift of joy that we think the Lord has entrusted to our community. And it really does also stem from our Franciscan tradition, because there is probably not a saint who is known more for his joy than St. Francis of Assisi. He loved to sing. He was basically quite a partier before his conversion, but he never lost that spirit of worship, of praise, of singing. And he was just a very joyful person, and expressed that throughout his life. And I think it's contagious in the Franciscan order. There's just a lot of joy in general among Franciscans. So that's probably part of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to keep our eye on the time that we have and your time, which is precious. But could you say a few words about the charisms of your order?
Certainly. Because we're standing with Mary at the foot of the cross, we're very much rooted in crucified love, meaning that we're rooted in, first of all, trying to be in the love of Christ, to receive it, to give it away. And from that, of course, we literally have the blood and water flowing from the side of Christ. So mercy is our second charism, which is lived out through many of our ministries, our works of mercy. And then we live that out tangibly in a life of poverty and contemplation. So our prayer life is extremely, extremely important to us, because we were founded to renew the contemplative dimension of the Franciscan Third Order. And so with that, the charism of contemplation is really central for us. But poverty also comes to us through our Franciscan tradition. So it's crucified love, mercy, poverty, and contemplation. Our four charisms, we couldn't just have one. We had just too much to do. So we have four.
Our topic today, sister, is yielding. And it's a troubling word for many of us in America. Yielding means weakness. It implies probably trying to make a decision that we don't want to make, or being forced to make a decision. And you've already talked about perhaps approaching the point of yielding to Christ and making decisions for him. Can you help us get into this subject of yielding?
Yeah, I think it's really pivotal for all Christians, obviously, for religious in a particular way, through our vow of obedience, because it can be very easy in some ways to have our own idea of what we're meant to be doing, what God's calling us to do, but when that's manifested through a superior, it's a whole other situation, because it's this flawed human by which God's will is communicated to us. And for lay people as well, I think the situation and for all of us, the circumstances of our life, just like you asked me about before in terms of difficult circumstances in life, various sufferings that God entrusts to us, I think there's a way of being sort of yielding and being obedient to the circumstances of our life, like what God allows for. Even in marriage, obviously, there's a certain obedience to one another, to the circumstances. When the child is screaming in the middle of the night, someone has got to get up and be obedient to that screaming and take care of that child. And I just believe there's a deep sort of freedom that comes with yielding to God's will. And the sisters said when I told them I was going to do this interview and what it was about, they said, that's perfect, because you're just got a will problem, as I affectionately call it. And don't we all, on some level, have a will problem? But this problem with yielding, I know for me, it manifested through my call to religious life, because initially, I didn't say it then when I was sharing it, but initially, I was not too crazy about the idea at all. It sort of repulsed me, actually. And so I did need that time in adoration. That was one of the ways God really worked on me, worked on my will. But, of course, I had to be faithful to go. And so what I find yielding throughout my life, and I'm 46 now, yielding is just a practice of daily faithfulness, of getting up in the morning, doing what is indicated for us, it's following the schedule, faithfully entering into each aspect of the schedule as well as possible. And I think it's true for lay people as well. It's going to work. It's entering into the relationships that are maybe not always so easy and doing that in the most loving way that we can. Praying for God's help in all of that, taking time for prayer is absolutely essential. And it just seems to me that cultivating that relationship with God helps us to continue to just keep saying yes and have the Blessed Mother, Jesus himself, as I said about Mary being at the foot of the cross, that they're yielding. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're yielding to pretty much the most difficult circumstance possible, because God is being killed. Basically, it's a very difficult circumstance. I don't think any of us can say that we've experienced anything on that level. But Jesus gives us so much grace through that experience and our identification with it to, you know, bear with the difficult circumstances that I think we have day to day, and to yield to that, to just keep saying yes. But to me, it's in the present moment. It's just the small things, being so faithful to the small things. And then when the big difficulties, the big sufferings come, there's a certain preparation.
Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is Sister Catherine Lynn Forsythe. She's with the Franciscan Sisters, TOR, of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother, and they're in Ohio. Excuse my voice, sister. I may have put this in an email that I came out of Colorado, and there was a holy woman that I used to spend time with from time to time, and I talked to her about what if God wanted me to go stand with some sort of a sign out by the highway and you know, sort of make a spectacle of myself. She laughed pretty heartily, and she said, Jesus may call on you to love someone, but he's not going to do something to ask you to embarrass yourself. Would you agree with that, sister?
Yeah, I would. In general, I'd agree with that, because I think it goes back to what I was just saying. I think that loving in the day-to-day context of our circumstances, our vocation, whatever it might be, is where God's really working on us, calling on us to be fruitful, to be giving ourselves in real ways, in ways that cost, you know, giving our time, giving our energy in real ways, in loving others and in loving ourselves and in loving the Lord in all of that. At the same time, I do think God calls us to go beyond our comfort zone as well. He calls us not necessarily to do things that will, you know, purposely embarrass us, but to go beyond what we think might be possible for us or what is comfortable for us. And I know I have many experiences of that, probably we all do, where you're just, I'm not so sure that I want to do what God is asking because it seems like it's difficult. And at the same time to know, I think it helps with life experience to start to see that God does bless those circumstances, no matter what they are, with the grace to keep saying yes. But again, I think the basic thing he does call us to do, she's totally right, is to just love in the way that we can, given our weaknesses, frailties, sinfulness.
We did a show, sister, a while back on discernment, and discernment is a forerunner to yielding. Mm-hmm. Do you have any closing thoughts on either of these topics before we talk a little bit about some closing matters?
I would say that the most significant thing that struck me when I thought about that question is silence and the place that it does not have in our culture necessarily, and that people really, it's very helpful to encourage people, and we do it here, our life, we have a lot of silence, because that's almost the forerunner to discernment in the sense that we need to be hearing. To hear God's voice, we have to be actually listening. And there's so much noise, and I would just say the place of silence, creating spaces of silence, that place of adoration for me in my 20s was a great opportunity for silence. I wouldn't have seen it that way at the time, but now I recognize that's how God could speak and could work in my heart, was because I gave him that time and I listened. I really could just listen to him speak to my heart. So I would say silence is very, very key. Obviously, faithfulness to the church and the sacramental life of the church, and spiritual direction or advice from people that you trust is very helpful. You know, being active in the life of the church, all of the typical things we do as Catholics, really. But that silence, to me, is very key and very much missing in our culture.
As we head into our wrap-up, Sister, I know that you have a beautiful, beautiful website, and we will put links to your order in our show notes for today. Would you tell us what the web address is for anybody listening right now?
Sure. It's T as in Tom, O-R, sisters, with an S, dot org.
Okay. And I haven't availed myself of altar breads. I have gotten gift cards, mm-hmm. and I also see religious articles on that. Can you say a few words about what you're doing in these areas?
Right. We actually receive altar breads, which are the hosts that we use at Mass. We receive those from a cloister community, and so we're very proud to support that community. And then we are sort of the middleman because we sell them and market them to parishes and universities. So we have customers all over the United States for our altar breads, and that is one of the main ways that we provide for ourselves financially in order to live a more contemplative life, because our sisters don't take full-time positions at work, and then a lot of the work we do is with the poor, so we don't get paid for that. In terms of the gift cards, you've seen those, and they are almost all photographs that our sisters took, and many of those photographs are actually taken on our property. And they're most of them are actually photographs. And so that also provides a little income for us. And the religious articles would be rosaries, chaplets. We make Teresa beads, which are like little sacrifice beads, because St. Therese would pull a bead when she made a sacrifice, and that's just a nice little reminder to carry around. So all of that, though, can be seen on the website, everything that we're involved with. And those are just some small ways we provide for our way of life. I think about 80% of our way of life comes about financially through direct donations. We've actually been told it's not possible to live that way, but we've been doing it for 21 years, so we're thinking it is possible.
Praise God. Praise God. Just a side note on the sacrifice beads.
Yes.
They are a part of my own personal ministry. I've given them away for years.
Oh, wonderful.
I want to tell you that how it got started was with an Irish priest in Florida who happened to be a guest on a show just a few episodes ago on truth. And he started that ministry in his parish, having people make them in his parish. His name is Father Patrick O'Doherty. And they've given away something like 80,000 of them. Not given away, excuse me. They've sold for small donations about 80,000 of them around the world. So I'll have conflicting feelings about where I go for my sacrifice.
Well, the main thing is we have to pray that we all have a greater spirit of sacrifice, so we're willing to use the beads that we buy.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So if there's a woman listening who is young enough, whatever that means, to consider talking with your order, and she's right. a little worried about what it means to yield, a little worried about making the call, or if there's a person who is wondering if God is asking them to do something more profound for Holy Week, Would you say any closing thoughts on yielding to God's voice?
I think that our fear of sacrifice is so deeply rooted in us as fallen creatures. And to even truthfully hear that voice, I think, is important, that I'm afraid of being lost in the gift, which is, I think, the way our Pope, our current Pope, sort of said it to young people in his first address to young people about not fearing that we're going to lose something in terms of what God asks of us. And constantly that's throughout life, is to fight that fear in all the decisions that we face and the discernments that we need to make. And I think with regard to religious life or any sacrifice that we're looking at, to know that there's so much grace available from God if we step out just a little bit. I know the image I think of often is a yes that is just sort of a door cracked open, just a little sliver crack, but that God kind of blows that door right off its hinges if we're willing to just open the door of our hearts a little bit and say yes. He takes our small yes and makes it so big and so fruitful and so full of joy, and that we can trust him to do that.
Amen. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins has been Franciscan Sister Catherine Lynn Forsyth. She's with the TOR Sisters of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother. And what is the hometown in Ohio?
We're in Toronto, Ohio.
All right.
And that's a little confusing when you come from near Toronto, Ontario.
Yes, yes.
Which is the case for me. Yeah, we're in Toronto. We're about 6 miles from Steubenville, Ohio.
It was a real blessing to have you on the show today. I might tell you that all of my heritage is out of Canada.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a U.S. citizen, but everybody came from Irish roots when they settled in north of Toronto, and Lindsay, Peterborough, Bob Cajun. So you probably know those areas.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yes. Yeah.
Well, Sister, it is a joy to speak with you, and we thank you so very much, and we will keep you and your order in prayer.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Oh, that was a good talk, a good interview. I really hope I get to meet her someday.
Absolutely.
Hey, I think you and I were both maybe thinking the same thing when she was talking about resisting going to that retreat, or yeah, the parents were making her go.
Wasn't it the same story with Father Mark Rutherford?
Exactly. It's exactly what I was thinking of.
And it's interesting that his story happened surrounding adoration. And speaking of adoration, I talked with Sister for a couple of minutes after we stopped recording, and she shared with me that she had something she wanted to say that happened to her related to adoration. Why don't we listen to that, because she came back on for a minute or two.
Okay.
Well, we hung up after we were finished with our interview, and Sister Catherine said that she had something else that she thought of. Sister Catherine, do you want to do a quick add-on?
Yeah, sure. I was talking about that year that was so pivotal for me when I was able to go to Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament every day. And what happened to me when I was not confirmed in my vocation at this time, and I'd been at a dance, a young adult dance, a Catholic, actually, event, and that weekend. And on the Monday, I went to Adoration, and for the first time in a long time, I was thinking about marriage. Nothing sinful in my thoughts. It was all very good. I was thinking married people can be holy. I could just be married. Knowing that the Lord was pretty clearly beginning to call me to religious life and letting me know for sure that I was going to do that. And I was the only one in the church, and it's one of the few things I really clearly know God said to me, because it certainly was not within my natural thoughts, is he just said straight from the monstrance to me, "You belong to me, and you will never belong to another." Oh. And it was just one of those moments where I absolutely knew God had spoken. And he spoke it right inside me, so it changed even my thinking and my heart in that moment. And I believe that was really significant in terms of me yielding to religious life, saying yes to God's call on my life in that way.
Thank you for that beautiful add-on, Sister.
Amen. You're welcome.
Well, thank you, Sister Catherine, for that beautiful add-on. I just love time spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and encourage everyone to try that if you're not doing it already in your faith walk. Speaking of faith walk, Father O'Doherty had a lot to do with our faith walk, Dee.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that we have a new webpage on our website for Father O'Doherty. And I've posted the second of his talks on women in Scripture. These are a series of talks and homilies that will be available at no charge to listeners to Catholic Vitamins. I want to say with a smile that if you haven't listened to the first talk by Father O'Doherty to start the Women in Scripture series, please do so. It is humorous at the beginning and tender when he talks about his mother. And he called her a gun moll and a member of the Hell's Angels. You just have to know Father O'Doherty, how wonderful he is and gentle, but he's got a great sense of humor. So we invite listeners to please use our website to learn more about our former pastor.
I wanted to add something in here.
Yes.
Since we started this podcast.
Yes.
I've gone into mourning.
What's the matter, Dee?
My iPod died today.
Oh, no.
Oh, I think I might have a breakdown.
I wonder if in the Book of Blessings for Deacons, if we have
a... Oh, please try, please try. Didn't I just say just about a week ago that I think I need a new iPod? I need one with a few more gigabytes because I'm running out of space.
You want to keep everything on it. You don't want to get rid of anything.
I have been forced to get rid of some stuff, and I have, and I still am coming close to running out of space. So I think it's time to buy the new one.
Yep.
We had a couple audio calls.
Yes.
Do you want to play those now?
We do, yeah. These are people that took a guess at Vita Scrabble.
Hello, Deacon Tom. It's Donald, your friend in Toronto, calling, and I'm yearning for a sweet treat. I believe that's the word of... for Catholic Vitamin Y, yearning. Okay, we'll see if mine or not. Take care and God bless. Bye.
Hello, Deacon Tom and Dee. This is Mary Ward. I am calling to make a guess for the next podcast for the letter Y, and I believe it's yearning, which is one of my favorite topics. That C.S. Lewis described as joy, and St. Augustine said, you have created us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. So I'm looking forward to this podcast. I hope I'm right for several reasons. And thank you so much for pulling my name out of the basket. I'm excited. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, we also had a email from... Mary, and she says, Dear Deacon Tom, I'm so excited to win, and I look forward to listening to the next podcast. I started from the first one this weekend and am enjoying following your podcast journey in their creation and the materials offered in them. Well, thanks so very much, and we're so glad that you're one of our listeners.
We had a rather funny one, I think. Christine wrote in, she says, well... yodeling is eight letters and begins with Y and ends with G, but unless there's a form of chant that is yodeled, I doubt that's the right word.
Christine, I think we ought to give you an honorary mention, Catholic Sweet Treat. If we had your address, or still had her address.
I think we might have hers, but
really?
I'll check.
All right.
And we had so many guesses for yearning, which
yearning.
Was not correct, but you decide next time we're not going to... Honor the same winner two times in a row, right?
Right, right, right. So if somebody won two times in a row, we just pull another name. Listen, we had feedback from Eve Mercer of Mike and Eve, Our Catholic Podcast. And she said, I heard you and Dee on John and Heather's Catholic Family Journal and have enjoyed your comments on there. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I really appreciate the camaraderie that seems to exist among Catholic podcasters and look forward to getting more involved with others who are evangelizing in this way.
I really liked Eve's words about that because it really does feel that way.
It sure does.
It's just like we're all one big Catholic podcasting family, and everybody is so wonderful.
I'm not sure, I've told you this, we just talked about this when we were eating lunch, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get to Boston because we've got other expense items for this summer, but we sure did enjoy meeting all of the...
I'll go get a job. I want to go.
Did you hear that, folks? Maybe Eve and one of the other Catholic podcast ladies would like you to clean house. How about that?
Oh, I don't know if that's what I want to do. Well, I'll do anything. I'll do anything.
Okay.
Hey, I have something here from Jennifer Larkin. She's our friend back in the east part of the U.S. And she said she was listening to show V&W and while she was cooking up some chili. And she wished she had listened earlier so she could have given me a weather report before my trip back east. She said it should be sunny and warmer. Well, I can tell you that it was, Jennifer. And for all the bad weather that y'all have had back there for the past month or two, it just turned out really, really great for our weekend last weekend.
Dear, as we come to the end, I wanted to say, oh, Bridget Sweeney from the Endow organization. She was our guest on Catholic Vitamin W, which was for women and willingness. And she sent an email which said, I wanted to let you know that I was able to listen to the podcast. Thank you so much. I'm grateful to you, your wife, for the work that you do for the church. I've already mentioned taking a road trip to the Grand Canyon to a group of her friends. I would love to take you up on the offer of stopping by your place. I'll keep you posted as plans develop. That is a promise. You better do it.
Oh, spare bedroom's ready.
Yep.
I posted something on Facebook about my cold and coming back from my trip with the cold. And Charlene McIntyre said she's been fighting a sinus infection for almost 2 weeks. She's feeling better. And she uses a facial steamer and chamomile to soothe the sinus pressure. Well, I don't really have sinus pressure, but I like the sound of that. She also says she takes herbal supplements to boost the immune system. She's sensing Catholic herbal supplements in our podcast future. What do you think?
Well, coincidentally, let's tell her and everybody else listening, we were talking with our holy lady who lives on a mountain, Lucille. And you know what she recommended? Do you remember what it was the other day?
Elderberry,
yeah, yeah.
And for the immune system, right?
That's correct. But I was also talking with our pastor about this area, and I mentioned elderberry, and he said, I don't think so. But he said, I used to steam eucalyptus. This is him talking.
Oh.
And he said, I would breathe in the vapors from eucalyptus. He said it was very powerful for the sinus and all that. So maybe that's the thing to try.
Oh, we used to love the smell of eucalyptus when we lived in San Francisco. Remember?
I do. Walking in, what was the name of that park? Yeah, okay, that's all right. We used to walk in that park with our dog, Pepsi, and it was beautiful, beautiful big eucalyptus trees. Yeah. We loved it.
The name will come to me after we finish the podcast.
Sure, sure. Well, I think we're about near the end. We need to wrap up because we're running long. Let's see, we have...
Oh, we want to say congratulations to Sarah Bauer and her husband, Chris, on the birth of their baby daughter, Lena.
All right.
This
beautiful.
This is exciting. She's beautiful. I've seen pictures.
Yeah. And Sally Feller is a new Facebook friend. And
you've got some followers on Plurk.
I don't know how to pronounce that one. Mandrivnik?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And Ray and Joe on Sales. Twitter followers. And I've got Frederick as a Twitter follower. And also, we just want to say thank you to everybody who has prayed for both of us through our colds these past few weeks.
And thanks for all the people that have jumped in and tried to do the Vita Scrabble thing. If you know what our next vitamin is, we're about ready to announce it in the Scrabble format. You can call our feedback number, 206-350-3789.
Or email us at catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
All right, Ed, we should have a drum roll. We can't because we're a low budget show, but the Vita Scrabble tease, and I'll tell you what, you got to get this one for sure.
Oh, it's going to be so easy, folks.
All right, it has four letters.
Starts with Z.
Ends with L. And then I would say jokingly, it's a Polish word. It has no vowels. I won't do that. All right, I'm wrong. I'm teasing. All right, Z is the first letter, L is the last letter, and We're going to be doing that as our next Catholic Vitamin.
And I guarantee we're going to be pulling a name out of the basket.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for being with us in this family of Catholic Vitamins listeners. And we appreciate it.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right. All right. Let's get ready.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.